Hi, I'm Chase Bunker, but you're not here for me. You're here for my guest. She is a brilliant violinist whose videos received millions of views up on YouTube. You can see her at the Moran Theater on November 29th for the Snow Waltz Tour. Tickets on sale now. She is Lindsay Sterling. Lindsay, how are you?
Good. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks a lot for coming on. I followed your career for a long time, and it's great to finally talk with you. I want to ask you this. For those who do not know, you were on America's Got Talent. Now, during the quarterfinals, you were told this quote: "There were times where it sounded like a bunch of rats being strangled. You're not untalented, but you're not good enough to go flying through the air to play a violin." Another judge also saying that you weren't good enough to fill a theater in Vegas. Now, since then, you've released 7 albums, published 11 books, won several awards, collaborated with a dozen artists. Oh, by the way, you've also filled up theaters. Is this quite possibly the best revenge one could ask for?
You know, I guess you're right. I like to pretend like I don't have any revenge in my body, but you're right. No, it does feel good to be like, hey, you know, you were wrong about me and I'm going to show you. So I'm grateful I've been able to do that.
I know it's been over a decade since that happened. Are you able to kind of look back at that time fondly, or did that moment just kind of ruin it?
No, it didn't ruin it. I mean, it ruined it in the moment, but I think that's what comes with hindsight, is like growth and maturity and like not holding on to bitterness or, you know, revenge or any of those kind of feelings. Those can only get you so far. Like, they did propel me and like kind of give me this need to prove myself, but then, you know, that can't last for like a decade plus. And so I'm really grateful that, you know, I've gotten to go back to America's Got Talent multiple times as a guest performer or as a mentor. And it's become a very like sweet experience. And every time I go back, it now feels like family. And I can't help but see it as it is the place where I started, even if it didn't look like I wanted it to. That's where I got my start. That's what propelled my story. And so honestly, now all I have is like gratitude for that moment.
That's good to hear, because I just remember I saw a video of that and I just thought, even for a quarterfinal, like, that is just such scathing comments. Like, because normally you hear that at like the beginning audition, but just to hear that in a quarterfinal, which, by the way, like, God help you, you were like, you remained composed the entire time, because I probably would have broken down midway through.
Oh, thank you. One of my finer moments, because I was breaking down inside for sure. I was so embarrassed. I think I was honestly in a little bit of shock too, because I had to visualize this moment and I wanted it so bad. And as it was unfolding, I was just like, this can't be real. Like, you know what I mean? But it was. And, but yeah, like I said, sometimes you just have to like take those moments that really knock you down to your knees, or, you know, and those are the moments that make you realize that you're strong enough to get up again, and that will make you stronger forever. It's definitely made me stronger forever. I can look back on that painful humiliation and be like, hey, I made it through that. So whatever I'm going through right now, I can do it.
Nice. Now, obviously, you've achieved a ton of success since AGT. What was the moment that you realized that you made it big?
You know, I feel like the most important moment for me was the moment when I, you know, I had started releasing things on YouTube. I'd even had a couple videos go quote unquote viral. But they were always covers. You know, they were always when I would be playing somebody else's music. And then, you know, I released my own song called Crystallize. And prior to that, none of my own original music had done very well. But when I released Crystallize, it was a dubstep violin song, and it got a million views in like less than 24 hours. And I remember in that moment just realizing, I think my life just changed. I think this is it. People see me for the kind of artist I want to be, and I can work with that. I can take that all over the world, because this is what I want to be. And so that was a very exciting, like, life-changing moment.
I know that, as I mentioned, you've also collaborated with a bunch of people. Who was the one that kind of took your breath away and go, wait, they want me to collaborate with them? Or we're going to work together?
I have multiple, you know, I've had many pinch me moments with my collaborators, and I've been so fortunate, but Celine Dion has to take the cake. That was definitely a pinch me moment, from the moment I got the email to like the moment we walked off the stage together. And still, anytime I see her perform, I'm like, I can't believe that I've performed with and have a song with Celine Dion. Like, that's pretty crazy.
Oh, I didn't know you collaborated with Celine Dion.
The Queen, I did. I was very, again, life's been very good to me.
What was the song that you did with her?
We did, it was actually a cover. It was a cover of The Show Must Go On. And yeah, we performed it at the Billboard Awards shortly after she lost her husband. And it was a performance, you know, for her to say, like, my life will go on. And I got to do, like, the guitar solo that's in that song. I got to do it as a violin solo. And it was very magical.
Awesome. That's so cool. You can see her at the Moran Theater on November 29th. Tickets on sale now. Let's talk about your shows, because it's not just you sitting in a chair playing the violin. It's you coming out. There's dancing and you're flying everywhere. How much prep do you have to go through to just prepare for a tour like this?
Oh, it's a ton of prep. I mean, it's also just the decade plus of training to dance and play the violin and trying new things and training as an aerialist for now half a decade, you know, so it's the years and years of training, but also I have this amazing crew and, you know, everything from designing costumes to designing fun sets with really fun props and storytelling and sparkles. And I have the most amazing dancers, the most incredible band. And it truly is like a spectacle for all your senses. If you come to the show, I think people can't help but smile or cry at moments. It's just, I'm very proud of our show, and specifically our Christmas show is something that has become a perennial for a lot of people.
When you come on to like different cities all over, are you able to actually enjoy the city, or is it one of those like, all right, I'm here, let's get down to business, show's over, I have to go?
Yeah, usually show days are pretty full from, like, you know, the prep every day, the warm up, the getting ready, meeting the fans at the meet and greet and doing special VIP stuff and then the show. So the days are pretty full. But sometimes, like, I do sometimes just need to get out into the city and see something or taste something, you know. And so that is something that, like, I just have to check in with my own, I guess, mental health to be like, is today a day where I need to go out and do something for myself and like take a little vacation. Sometimes it's also, hey, I hear this city is known for, you know, Philly cheesesteaks. I would love a Philly cheesesteak. Get me the best one in town. You know, so sometimes I try my best to like find ways to creatively get the local flavors. But yeah, when I can, I do try to see a little bit of the city.
Now, I do believe, I could be wrong, you have, I think it's like 7 or 8 different violins. Is that correct?
Oh, I have lots of violins. I probably have about 20 at this point. But I tour usually with like 5 violins. Oh.
And I believe they also have different names. I think one of them is called Pickles. One's David Bowie. One's Starlight. Is that correct?
Yes, they all have names. You know, you got some of the good ones. We've also got like Arwen and Cleopatra and Bob Ross and Ingrid, like, yeah, they all have names, and it does make it, you know, fun, but it also makes it easier when I'm, like, telling my crew, like, oh, I'm going to bring this one and this one, this one. Like, they know all their names. It's much easier than, you know, the red sparkly one, you know?
So here comes the hard-hitting journalism question. Which one's your favorite? Which one of your kids is the favorite?
You know, I do have a favorite child. I do, for sure. It's Excalibur, and that is it's about 120-year-old Roth violin, and it's a German made. She's beautiful. It's the violin I've done all my recording with on any of the songs I've ever done, and I just love that beautiful old classic sound of a beautiful acoustic.
Now, when you get a guitar, you have to learn the intro to Crazy Train. When you get a saxophone, you have to play Careless Whisper. It's just sax law. What is a song that you have to learn once you pick up the violin?
To be honest, it's The Devil Went Down to Georgia. That's the song that people are going to request your entire life. So if you're a violinist and you're starting, just know that's the song you get to work towards. And once you learn it forever, when someone hears that you play the violin, you will be ready, because their next comment will be, can you play The Devil Went Down to Georgia? And you'll forever be able to say yes.
How long does it take to learn that? Because just from a listening standpoint, it sounds like it is a pain to learn.
You know, I think I learned it when I was like 13 years old. And yeah, as a 13-year-old Lindsay, it was a pain to learn, you know, but it's also a fun song to play, you know, and it's a crowd pleaser. There's a reason it's become a favorite amongst, you know, people worldwide. It's It's fun. It's fun for the fingers.
I know that you also, what's fun to listen to is when you do a lot of video game covers. Is there one that you wish that you could perform at some point in the near future, or is there one that stands out to you? It's like, I absolutely love this cover. Like, I will play this no matter what.
You know, I hadn't played my video game music for quite a long time. But then on the summer, we did a tour with symphonies where we would play with a symphony in different cities every night. And it was really cool. And so I had to bust out those like cinematic, you know, game like tracks and trailers. They're so good. And so it was really fun. I think The Legend of Zelda is the one that is the most like, I don't know, the most fun for me to play.
You also did a cover of A Plague Tale Requiem, which is up on YouTube now, which, by the way, if you have not listened to, check it out. It's a fantastic cover. You can see her at the Moran Theater on November 29th. Tickets on sale now. Before we go, Lindsay, I want to ask you the same 10 questions I like to ask all my guests here, inspired by the late, great James Lipton. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. Most played song on your playlist?
Ooh, it would be Ice Dance by Danny Elfman.
Guilty pleasure band?
Okay, first thing that came to mind is not a band, but Carly Rae Jepsen. Love Carly Rae Jepsen.
Favorite song you like to belt it out to no matter how good or how bad you sound?
Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson.
If you could eat one meal for a week, what is it?
Pizza.
I like how you say that with such confidence. Pizza?
Well, it's like, I'm like, what am I, 5 years old? But pizza's always so good.
I feel like that's like everybody likes pizza. It's like saying, oh, yeah.
Everybody likes pizza.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I like chicken fingers and macaroni and cheese. Well, yeah, who doesn't like, well, I mean, vegetarians don't like chicken fingers, but like, who doesn't like macaroni and cheese? So yeah, I feel like the basic stuff's always the best answer. Drink of choice.
Chocolate milk.
I like how after I criticized you for your question mark answer, like confidence, chalky milk.
Yes, absolutely. No questions.
Favorite superhero?
Ooh, favorite superhero. I mean, Wonder Woman.
To help settle a bet, do you think the 80s video game character Mega Man is a superhero?
I do not classify him as a superhero.
We were having such a great conversation.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm on the other line for you. I apologize.
How dare you? Favorite internet video?
Ooh. Favorite internet video? I love infomercial fails. There's a particular one where the guy falls off a ladder.
I'm just thinking of like all the ones with like the black and white, like the guy just struggling to like hold up a tray or something. Those are all just so wild.
They're so good. Yeah.
What are you watching right now on your streaming platforms?
Ooh, you got me. I'm watching Dancing with the Stars, of course.
And finally, Lindsay Sterling, give me your spiciest hot take. It could be about anything in life.
You know, I have strong opinions that men shouldn't complain about going bald. Women do so much work to like fix our hair and change the color of it and like, you know, manicure our nails and make our is longer, like with serums. Like women do so much and spend so much money on their appearance, and men have this one thing that they really complain about and that they could fix. So men should not complain about going bald. Either fix it or own it.
I feel like I should get like some hair restoration sponsor just to go with this interview, just to like why is this hair restoration sponsoring this Lindsay Sterling interview? Oh, okay.
There you go. I'll be their spokeswoman. I will. I'll take that on.
But Lindsay, my hair is my only good quality that I have.
Well, then keep it on your head, sir.
You can see her at the Moran Theater on November 29th for the Snow Waltz Tour. Tickets on sale now. Lindsay Sterling, thanks a lot for coming on.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.